Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day the Lord has made. What a great day it is to be with you guys on this chilly morning. A lot of ice on the windshield this morning. 21 degrees. A good little frost last night. Looks like potential snow coming in this weekend, if I understand correctly. I don't know how much. Depends on what model you use, but looks like maybe towards the end of the week, may get some snow, but it is sure is chilly out there right now. And it's good to be in here with you guys, though. It is nice and toasty, as Miss Gretchen said. It feels good in here this morning.
It did.
So, how are you doing this morning, Miss Gretchen?
I'm doing very well. Yep, all is well.
Amen. And Mr. Miller, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I am happy to be here.
Amen. You all had another good weekend this weekend as a basketball team.
Yeah, it was good. We won the Battle of the Bluegrass tournament there in Lexington, Asbury University. So we did well, overcame a lot of adversity. We have one injured, could have a broken ankle, so we'll see. Yeah. And then another sick, out sick, so we were shorthanded. We're not a deep team anyway, but we're
Yeah.
very shorthanded, but battled through and learned a lot of good things about ourselves. So,
Good.
yeah.
Well, had a great work day here too. If you wasn't at church yesterday, we sent out a big thanks to everybody that showed up. It was an awesome day of fellowship here.
Yeah.
And so thank you to you guys who showed up on Saturday just to help us around here. And got a couple of great events coming up here, January 21st and 22nd. Brother Lance Johnson will be with us. That's Wednesday night is a revival night for everybody. Love to see you out here. Come out here and be a part of just really tending the fire and seeking the Lord and impartation and really just some equipping to the body of Christ and a stirring. And then that Thursday night, we're going to have a men's gathering. Chili potluck will start at 6 o'clock p.m. And then we're going to go to town, not town, but we're going to go to the sanctuary afterwards and just worship the Lord as a group of men and get some equipping on for being godly men in this culture as well. Amen. And so excited for that. And then you go and put this date on there. Got a couple of great dates still coming up here. February 22nd, some of you all are familiar with Brother Waleed Zaru, who's been on with us quite a bit here. He's going to be with us in person at Bethel Fellowship on the 22nd of February. And so really excited for that. If you can make it out that morning, I know you won't. You're going to hear the true word of God. So it was a really cool conversation to have him the other day. I shared this, I think it was Friday. just got to talk to him. And we talked about Israel, and it was really cool discussing Israel with a Palestinian Christian. So that was so cool. I really enjoyed that conversation, and looking forward to being with him in person for a day or two. And he has been on with us on the radio quite a bit and just become a good friend to us. And so excited to see him in February here. Then March 14th, we are still planning our youth rally. So make sure you get that on your calendar as well. Amen. I mean, any announcements I don't have that maybe you guys have access to?
I can't think of any.
Any home games this week?
No, we go to Oak Ridge tomorrow. And so that's a relatively close game. That's probably the closest away game that we'll play. And then there is a time change on that. The schedule says 5:30, but we'll play at 6. They added a middle school game with another school, so we accommodated them. They're always good to us, so we gotta return the favor there. And then so that's it.
Amen.
We have a tournament this coming weekend in Paris, Kentucky. So I was
look at all
looking.
these tournaments.
It just kind of worked out that way this year, and I was trying to find some hotels, and kept Expedia kept trying to put me in Paris, France.
That would have been bad.
Yeah. So there's a lot more hotel options in Paris, France, than Kentucky.
Oh. Excuse me. Oh, well, we are in the book of Acts this morning. I apologize. I did not get our memory verse of the week together yet. I will start that tomorrow. We'll have still plenty of time to get that going. It was a rough night. It was a rough night. I didn't feel well.
Well, we could use mine for this week.
You got yours?
Mine is Micah 6:8.
Okay. Oh. Read that to us.
I think I can quote it already.
Okay.
I started it yesterday. But, I may not have it word for word, but he hath shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
Now, is that the schools?
No, that's just my personal one.
That's your personal one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was on the newsletter this week.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I just
inside.
I used an outside source because I have a tendency to, you know, want to memorize verses I'm already familiar with. So, mm-hmm. I'm going to let someone else choose for me, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, we'll join you.
So I did already know that one for the most part because we do have that one quite often.
Yeah. Micah 6:8. That's cool. That'll be ours for the week. I've been working through a systematic theology book. It's a textbook, and so I'm working through that in my private study time, and I'm enjoying that because you'll like this at the end of every chapter, Jason. Of course, like it's a legit textbook, and so it's the one Wayne Grudem does, and he, at the end of every chapter, he gives you a verse pertaining to the chapter to memorize.
Okay.
But he also gives you a hymn at every chapter. It's a hymn and then a contemporary song.
Okay.
That's written at every chapter. And of course, questions and stuff like that, because it is the textbook that so many seminaries use. And so I've really enjoyed working through it. I'm making my own personal notes and just kind of teaching my own self the systematic theology class, I guess. It's kind of like a refresher because I went through it before, but it'll probably take me a while. It's 55 pages and 1,500 pages, 55 chapters and 1,500 pages. So it's not a little book, 1,400, I think. And so I'm enjoying that, but I thought you would like the hymn thing.
Yep. So you just add at the end of each chapter a Rich Mullins song. That'd be good.
Do you sing it?
No, but I do. I do read them. I usually enjoy it. You don't want me to. I can make up the rhythm in my head. Most of these, like a lot of these, I'm very unfamiliar with. Like these are just hymns throughout all the ages, and they're not always the popular ones. So some of them are very unknown to me, and I think I really enjoy that, kind of getting to read the lyrics of hymns and then contemporary songs. Even some of these contemporary songs they put in there, I'm like, I've never heard that, and I really like those lyrics. So, so I've enjoyed that quite a bit, but. All right. Well, we are in the book of Acts. Sorry, I'm trying not to clear my throat in the mic, but book of Acts here, 5 is where we're still at. We've been held up in 5 a little bit, and so let's try to knock that out today. We are in 5:29.
I miss Brother Tim coming in and praying with us. That's always good way to start the day out. So I know he's not feeling well.
He's not felt well for a little while. I didn't know that until I think Friday.
Somebody, I didn't know that till this morning. Well, I noticed he wasn't here at church yesterday, but of course, you know, we left Friday, early Friday, and then we're gone all day Saturday too. And so, and I will have to admit, I was dragging yesterday at the service. So it's always good that you're energetic, you know, because if I had been preaching to myself, I would have fallen asleep. Put it that way.
I'll say this like this. It's not because the content's always extremely interesting, just because I'm loud. Mm-hmm. If you fall asleep and be preaching, you're really tired. It's not even the content.
And we travel a lot when we play ball games, but I guess I don't know what it was. Just the it's 8 hours on the road, you know, because we went there and back twice. And I don't know, it just socked it to me this time.
I don't know which night it was. I think it was maybe Friday night. I just got home because it feels like we haven't been home for a week. Like we're home to sleep and that's about it.
Yeah.
And I got home and I think before I even realized it, I was asleep. Yeah. And was it Thursday night or Friday night it stormed pretty good? It was Thursday night, wasn't it?
I don't even remember now.
I think so.
Oh,
with
yeah,
the,
yeah.
With the
yeah.
big
uh-huh.
wind.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Eliza said, did you hear anything? She goes, I said, what? She goes, you didn't hear the storm?
You were asleep in the boat.
And I said, no. And she goes, well, we was in your room asking, are we okay? Are we okay? And like, I don't think I ever woke up for anything that night.
I didn't either.
And
yeah.
so, yeah, sometimes you're just that tired. Verse 27 of chapter 5, and when they had brought them, I'm going to read a couple of verses for context. They set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you have intended to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. Mm-hmm. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses of this. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. There's a lot of rich things in there, and not rich moments, just rich things. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about what we would call civil disobedience. Now, yeah. Civil disobedience doesn't grant you the option to disobey something because you don't like it. Mm-hmm. Peter's yeah. making this clear here. If it's between obeying God or obeying man, we will obey God. That's what he's mm-hmm. teaching. That doesn't mean like, I don't think I like that, so therefore I'm not going to do that.
Right.
This is a clear cut. They're like, Peter, you all have to stop preaching in this name. And he said, I can't.
Yeah.
Because this is the name that's going to save Israel. And the Holy Spirit is here to witness to that, and we must obey him. And so I think this is good to really unpack and to process, and even in our own lives, and I think this is where if you feel like you have to practice civil disobedience just like Peter did here,
yeah.
I think you should seek counsel too, though. Make sure the witness of the Holy Spirit's mm-hmm. there. And again, this wasn't Peter alone. These are Peter and the apostles. It was not just one guy. It was a group of men, particularly the Peter and really, for as far as we know, the whole group. Like yeah. Peter and the apostles, like it doesn't clarify two or three, it just says the apostles. So there's yeah. a group of men, and together they had decided to do this because they felt like if we did not preach in this name, we would disobey God.
Sure.
And so I think you have to be careful if you are practicing civil disobedience, for one, doing it out of emotion and not truth, mm-hmm. and two, doing it just alone. Like, make sure you have counsel around you, because I'm sure
yeah.
You think Peter and the apostles had these conversations like, all right, guys, what do we do?
Yeah. Yeah. And people may not join in with you, but make sure there's people that, you know, agree with you.
Safety in numbers.
Right. Well, that, and make sure that you're to guard yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can get caught up in emotion if you're not careful when yeah. you feel strongly about a topic or something. And you can get caught up in doing things because you think it's right, not because God says it's right.
Yeah. And one thing I think is very good to bring up in this portion of text is they did not seem to do it out of a rebellious type
right.
spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, yeah. we must submit to the Holy Spirit. And I feel like that's very important to make sure that your spirit is right when yeah. you do practice this.
Right.
Do you think that they... that the emphasis on Jesus' name, maybe it was okay. They weren't saying you can't preach, whatever, you can't, you know, but just as long as you don't do it in that name. You think that was the issue?
Yeah, it was the name because mm-hmm. it was.
For
the,
sure.
Yeah, because
yeah,
I think they had, they actually talked about that before. Like, mm-hmm. it was at this name, and they wanted to shut the apostles up because mm-hmm. this is the name they just killed. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
and so, because they were trying to shut down this teaching, yeah. And so, but I do think,
and I think the Romans there and the leaders of that day, the Jewish leaders too, were probably in a bit of a panic mode, you know, because they thought, well, we killed him, and that should take care of it, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. It just kept growing
yeah.
and faster.
Yeah.
You know? So I think they were probably, you know, just grasping at straws to try to get them to shut up, you know.
And that tends to happen in the midst of persecution.
Yeah.
I mean, as as awful as Nigeria is right now to Christians, mm-hmm. it's growing.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many faithful believers that's growing, staying the course, and more getting born again. Whereas some of these nations that are kind of more, there is no pressure on the church, you actually see it kind of shrinking a little mm-hmm. bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that we invite and like, oh, Lord, send persecution to the church, we can grow. Like, but yeah. I do think that in seasons, and if you can look at the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you can look at other aspects of church history and see where persecution has brought revival instances and in circumstances. So,
yeah, it does.
Well, you can kind of see it in just different situations that's happened in our country even. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they rally around, you know. The troops rally when you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's one of the things you don't pray for. You don't pray for persecution.
Right.
Or patience.
Patience or persecution, yeah.
Yeah. Don't, just stay away from peace.
You have to, in the end, they're good things, but it's not something you really invite on yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, and also I think this civil disobedience here that they were practicing, it really was for the sake of the gospel. Like, it was like,
yeah.
If we stop teaching this in his name, he is the way of salvation.
Right.
So in them, they had this overwhelming sense of the Holy Spirit and witness the Holy Spirit saying, we must teach, because I think it's even like in front of them, like, this is the only name you can be saved. Like, right. Even to them, that they're taking this opportunity to preach the gospel to the leaders.
Yeah.
And so swallowed a cough drop whole. I took a drink after I put it in my mouth and it just went down. So I'm 33 now. And when they,
you know, I real quick though,
yeah, sure.
I thought, you know, during the COVID period, John MacArthur out in California, I thought his approach to that was very much like, what you would see in scripture. You know, he just said, you know, I'm not, he didn't argue with the leaders and officials, and he just said, you know, we're going to have some service.
Yeah.
You know, and they said you couldn't, and then there was a lot of legal back and forth. I think they were leasing a parking lot from the city or the county or whatever, and they said, well, you can't have that anymore, you know. So it was just, and they just said, you know, we're going on, you know. And it wasn't a lot of, he didn't argue his point. He just said, we're doing it. This is what God says.
Did you read his open letter?
I did, yeah. It's been a while since I've read it. But
I thought it was really good. Because I do agree with you. It wasn't so much he was attacking. It was just like, this is our conviction. We must do this for Christ.
And COVID was an odd time because
for
a while, you know, we weren't sure how, you know, the safety of it, you know. At the first little bit there, we thought, you know, if you get COVID, you were going to die.
Well, that's what they were telling us.
Yeah. And there were lots of people who did die, but it wasn't a blanket thing. Like, it was, you know, we thought it could wipe out, you know, 25% of the population, you know, like the plague or something. You know, so there were a lot of churches who were very cautious about that. But as soon as we recognized that the government was saying, well, you can't do this, but, you know, the casinos can stay open and the, you know,
strip clubs,
all those guys can stay open. Then it began to be okay. Well,
yeah. And then when they were saying, well, you can go back to church, but you can't sing, and all this kind of stuff. but I do remember that period because that was a tough period to be in. I was pastoring over at Hilltop at that point. And I remember that first Sunday they were telling us things like, I called Milltown's how many pastors, and we talked like, what do we,
because you want to do what's best for your congregation safety wise too. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you know, we were, you know, it looked very bleak. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was, you know, deception or just people being overly cautious or what, but, you know, it was, it looked very bleak. And so there were a lot of churches who handled that very carefully. But like I said,
And I think that looking back, I definitely would have handled it differently.
Like, absolutely.
I think I learned a lot during that season. Mm-hmm. And honestly, one of the things without getting too deep in it, two things I think I would really handle differently was I probably would never shut down, honestly, and just kind of been like, if you feel like you need to stay home, please do. And if you feel like you can be here, come on. Like, well, you know, we want to assemble together. Yeah. But the second thing is I think to an extent there's truth here, but I think to an extent the faith over fear thing went too far. Mm-hmm. Because I do think that we have complete faith that God can heal, that God can protect. But I do think there's wisdom too. Like,
sure.
And I think that if I have the flu and I know I have the flu and you have a little baby, I don't need to be around you for a period.
Right.
That's not a lack of faith. That's not fear.
Sure.
That's just wisdom.
Well, Brother Tim didn't come pray with us this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he didn't. You know, I mean, I want him to be well, but I don't I don't want him to give me.
What
anything.
If he's listening?
you know, can pray for us at home.
But
I'm sure he did too.
I think I pushed that rhetoric too far at times, and I think it was, and again, some of it is a lack of faith, and there has been those who have left the church and never came back, and I think there is probably there probably was a exposure of the lack of faith, but it's not just lack of faith over healing. It's like lack of faith, lack of relational faith.
Or fear.
But I do think there is a point where it does become wisdom too. But I think that you will, I think that's where you got to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. But I do think those are the two things I would have learned and hopefully I can do different. Like if anything like that ever happens again, because that's what... I think when you're in a position like that and you've never experienced it before,
that was the thing. Yeah,
you're going to make mistakes, but if that position ever arises again, I think the church is better prepared for it.
Yeah,
because we
You know, that's something that had not happened in roughly 100 years, and you know, at first we were only working with the information. We were, you know, getting one side of information, and it looked very bleak. And I think a lot of us reacted based on the knowledge we had. I think we reacted in the appropriate way, but looking back, you know, maybe we should have gone a different approach. You know, I don't fault anyone. I don't see it as a lack of faith or anything like that. That decided to close for a week or two, or to have outdoor services or whatever. You know, I don't fault that at all. Because at that moment in time, that's all the information we had.
Yeah.
You know, for the first 3 or 4, maybe even a month and a half there, you know, that was all the information we had.
Yeah. Verse 33.
And who would have thought our government would have deceived us?
When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. That's, now to me, when they were enraged, I think this probably, and I don't want to add to scripture or anything like that, but I feel like this is probably very similar to what we're going to see happening to Stephen soon. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably is some demonic things happening here. I think there is probably some, like, I think that there is very much so religious spirits. And they were probably enraged because, honestly, the spirit world probably wanted that supernatural side, really wanted him to shut up. And I think when they become enraged and wanted to kill him, I think there is this point to where it becomes a very spiritual matter. Like, and I think we're seeing this because we will see that with Stephen in a few chapters of, like, they're gnashing at teeth and they're doing all these kind of things. Like, there's an actual manifestation from those people, but it's the same type. To me, it's almost that same type of anger. Like, these people became so enraged at Stephen for preaching the gospel and not submitting to their authority that literally they started to manifest and gnashing teeth and screaming, and like, it is insane what these people do. And I think it just shows you the hatred for the name of Jesus that the demonic realm has, and also those of a religious spirit have. And I'm not trying to add to scripture, but I do think there's probably at this point, and everybody knows me well enough to know I try to keep a good balance in all that, because I do think a lot of the things that's happening is fleshly and our fallenness and our sinful nature. But I do think we never can eliminate, rule out, or belittle the demonic realm, because it is very much real. And and I think here you probably are seeing a little bit of that manifestation and what's in their heart. But a Pharisee in the council name, say that name for me a second. Read that for me, Gretchen, take over.
Give me
Then there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Get to move them out of the way a little bit, so they could discuss this thing over. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that we intend to do as touching these men. And keep on. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed.
So let's stop there for a second. Mm-hmm. So if you all see it the same way I see it, mm-hmm. the Lord's taking care of this to an extent. Like, yeah. all these people that's kind of rising up. Am I interpreting this right? Like, do you all interpret the same way? Like, mm-hmm. these people, the Lord's kind of like, he's just kind of taking care of them.
And he's kind of letting them know, Gamaliel is, you know, this is what happened to this one. This is what happened here. And this is what happened there. But, okay.
But and this is right after Jesus' resurrection. You know, so these were not men in any way, shape, or form that were, you know, truly promoting the gospel.
Mm-mm.
Because, you know, Pentecost had just taken place. You know,
mm-hmm.
So.
So, but to me, now I'm interpreting, and I could be interpreting this wrong, but I'm looking at verse 38. I'm sorry, I stopped Miss Gretchen before that, but it said, so in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them.
Right.
So are these guys that like these guys that are like
Theudas and Judas of Galilee
that die and perish and everybody's scattered after them?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, are those people for the apostles or against the apostles?
I think they were men that rose up and tried to get people to follow them, probably in some kind of overthrow of Rome.
Yeah.
It doesn't really say much about these people. My commentary says that Theudas, I'm not sure if it's how you pronounce it or not, he was mentioned in the book of Josephus' book, but this probably wasn't the same person because it would have been 10 years later.
Yeah.
So this but it was
now
probably a
Judas the Galilean, John MacArthur said was a zealot.
Yeah.
They're the ones that wanted to overthrow Rome. So
okay, yeah, mine says he was referred to in Josephus' history book as well. He caused a revolt over taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And was destroyed.
Yeah. So I guess.
So I think Gamaliel is just saying, hey, let's just let these guys go and we'll see what happens.
So I think I get what he's saying now. He's like, just like these guys, it didn't work out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave these other guys. That's what Gamaliel is trying to say there is like, let's not go after them because here's what's happened to that guy when they try to do a rebellion or that guy when he tried to raise a revolt. Like, it just failed because it's a man. But if it's of God, it'll stick around. And I get it now.
Okay.
I was a little bit misunderstanding until you put those puzzle pieces together for me. So, which we know that it is of God, and it does stick.
Yeah, absolutely.
2,000 years ago, we're still sticking to it. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. This is you had said it earlier, Jason. It really is about speaking in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going to finish 5 because I've been on 5 for like a week and a half. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Like, they literally like beat them and the apostles went away rejoicing.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's one of the most confounding but also profound statements in the first 5 books of, chapters of Acts, because you saw how much they were willing. And, like, they saw it as a rejoicing that they were able to suffer with Christ, even if it was just a beating. Like, and if you look at it, like, you remember John and James, the sons of Zebedee, you know, Salome was like, hey, can my son sit at your right hand? And Jesus is like, you ready to drink the cup of suffering? And here you almost see where they're willing to now. Like, and
Paul called it the fellowship of his suffering.
Yeah. But how
Jesus had warned them, you know, that persecution was going to come. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So, I mean, some of the things may have been starting to come back to them.
Yeah. Do you feel like the American church holds that same kind of, what do you think we would do if they started beating us in the church today?
I can only speak for myself, but I probably wouldn't be rejoicing, just to be honest. I mean, I think I would probably eventually think, okay, this is what persecution is. All right, so.
What I think, real persecution
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I think I would come around, but I don't, you know, just to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure I would be rejoicing at the beginning.
Yeah. I feel like we have been tainted with the prosperity gospel mm-hmm. in ways we wouldn't probably comprehend. Because we think the prosperity gospel is solely just give, and you're going to get mansions, you're going to get these nice cars. But the prosperity gospel can also be, hey, get saved, and you're going to have health all the days of your life. Get saved, and everything's going to be amazing, and you're going to be happy every second of every day, and right. nothing yeah. bad's ever going to happen to you.
He says all things work together for good, you know.
Yeah.
So we sometimes I think we think that only good things will happen.
Yeah. You know? But there's like all things, like even the bad things mm-hmm. are going to end up for your good. Yeah. And Jesus even says it in Matthew, like, you may have to yeah. give up land and houses. You may have to give up, I'll bring it in a modern day text, like,
yeah.
401ks, retirements. You may have to give up your house. You may have to give up your cars. You may have to surrender something. God may call you to you may lose more than you'll ever gain. But he says, it's all right. Because in the afterlife, in the next age, you're going to be rewarded 100-fold for whatever you surrender here. But that's really not the gospel that we preach so often. We right. preach like even yesterday, I wasn't trying to say that everything's going to be awesome there. I'm trying to say we're not bound by the power right. of sin no
yeah,
more.
Yeah, we're victorious over that.
We are victorious over that. But that doesn't mean everything in our life's going to be great. And I even talked about this last Wednesday. Like, even as a Christian, you probably will get the flu.
Yeah.
You may get sickness. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you've sinned greatly. Like, yeah. all sin has come. Right. I mean, all sickness has come from sin as a result of sin, yeah. all the way back to Adam. It's what introduced sickness. But now in the fallen state of our world, we have what's called germs. We have all these kind of things that I don't think was ever God's original intent, but they were introduced through sin and the result of sin. And so if I get the flu, it doesn't mean I sin greatly.
Mm-hmm.
But also we find in the New Testament where every time somebody was sick, they didn't always yeah. get healed in the New Testament church.
Yeah. It is interesting to see how the devil works it. He doesn't care if you think that you can't overcome something or that you can't be affected by something. You know, he can work both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we just have to have that balance as believers. We are victorious in Christ. But bad things may happen to us.
Yeah.
You know, and Kelly watched this movie yesterday, Soul on Fire, I think that was it. Have you all seen that mm-hmm. one? About this kid that was burned as really bad as a kid. I couldn't watch it because he was a Cardinals fan his whole life. He's a baseball fan. There's a lot of Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals references, so I had to leave the room. But anyway, but that basically was the extent of it. You know, he was burned horribly bad, you know, as a child. And it took him quite a while, from what I understand, to come to the realization that God still had a plan for him.
Yeah.
And that. You know, even though something really bad happened, God eventually worked it out for good.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's one of the biggest injustices to the gospel that we do, because we almost present the gospel in a fashion like you make this decision to follow Christ and everything's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And then 3 weeks down the road, after they make this decision,
mm-hmm.
life's not improved a lot. Like, maybe they stopped cussing, maybe they did all these kind of things.
But the bills are still there.
But, yeah, the bills are still there. My yeah. kids are still just out there. The
yeah.
the marriage is still not incredible. Yeah. And all these promises we make to people, and then, like, this isn't what I signed up for.
Yeah.
And I think here, like, Jesus was never, he never did that. Like, he said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Yes. But he also, like, he's telling them, you're going to lose things when you follow me.
People are going to hate you.
Like, people's going to hate you. People's not going to like you. It rains on the just and on the unjust. Like, it's going to, it is, blessings come, but also, like, bad things are going to happen. And I'm not, like, cursing us, but, mm-hmm. I mean, I'll never forget, like, I really pretty much lost a position one time because I had preached a message on, like, as a Christian, you will suffer. And as part of the pastoral team, it's my job to prepare you and equip you with the tools to overcome in that suffering and to yeah. persevere. And there is a reason that Jesus said those who endure until the end will be saved.
Yeah. There's a Rich Mullins song for that.
Yeah.
He says there's bound to come some trouble in your life. That's the name of the song.
And I am not preaching.
Reach out to Jesus and hold on tight.
And we're not preaching like, I'm just going to go up the rough side of the mountain. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
James doesn't even teach that. He says, joy in the midst of tribulation. Yeah. Joy in the midst of these things. And Jesus even taught that. Like, yeah. It doesn't, you can have joy. Joy doesn't mean you're always smiling, overwhelming. Like, but these apostles were able to literally rejoice when they got beat.
Yeah.
I think if we got beat today, my honest opinion is that we would pout.
I have a feeling I would.
Like, man, God, I thought I was following
like I said,
you.
I think eventually I would realize, okay, this I see what's going on here, you know, and the devil's not going to steal my joy. I think I would eventually come there, but I have to admit I probably would pout at first.
I know I would pout. Like, yeah. I'm following you. I've given up my life, and this is what I get. I get beat for you. Like, that's not what I signed up for. Yeah. Yet the apostles had found rejoicing in the midst
but
of
it. But it's where you understand your standing in Christ, you know. I am in him. I am the victor, right? And so no matter what comes against me, no matter what the circumstances are, I am victorious in him, even if that cost me my life, as it did with many of the apostles and early church leaders. They lost their life, but they walked out of this earthly life in victory.
Yeah. All right, 42, and we're done. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease in preaching that Jesus is the Christ.
That's called civil disobedience.
You couldn't shut them up.
Yeah.
Couldn't shut them up. First trivia question. We're going to do a quick break here.
Oh, my. We shot right past our break, didn't we?
Well, I am going to take a quick break because I need water.
I need to blow my nose.
Yeah. Paul, it's a couple of sicklings in here. About choked on air a minute ago. That's why I had to miss Gretchen. Like, help me. Paul said he would go to the Romans after he returned from his journey where? Paul said he would go to the Romans after he returned from the journey where? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. All right. We are back. We don't have an answer yet for that trivia question. Paul said he would go to the Romans after he returned from the journey where? Return from the journey where? 270-257-2689. We finally finished chapter 5 of Acts. And apologize for the voice in the coffin and all that. I'm trying my hardest and I was getting choked up. I swallowed a whole cough drop and then it just wasn't going down right. And so I apologize about if anybody heard my coughing there.
Wasn't there a contemporary Christian music group called Second Chapter of Acts?
Yes.
I don't know.
There was.
Like, how contemporary is this?
It's probably early stuff.
Early.
Okay. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. So not like a contemporary, but a contemporary. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's what they were called back in the day.
I may even have it would be a CD. No, I think it was a DVD. Not a DVD. What's the round disc?
CD.
CD. Yeah.
Well, it depends. Is it playing video or
no,
just
it wasn't.
Audio?
It was just audio. Second chapter of Acts, yeah. I don't know. It might have been a CD, cassette.
Yeah. Well,
I'm in a Facebook group with all those old contemporary music artists.
We've been
a lot of Sandy Patty talk lately. Did she pass away or something?
I don't know. I don't know who she is either.
You don't know who she is? Really?
Well, he's young. He's much younger than us.
Thank you.
What year were you born in?
87.
Yeah. So a lot of this Facebook group, and they were retiring about the time you were born.
Yeah.
Or died. Keith Green died.
That was a tragic one. Mm-hmm.
Oswald Chambers said one time, if you hoard a thing for yourself, it will turn into spiritual dry rot. As the manna did when it was hoarded. Do you agree with this? Now, I do not know the context in which Oswald actually said this, but here's what I think he's probably saying this. So, Jason, you may be able to help me with the context more.
Okay.
I would say he's probably alluding to the talents, burying it, like you're just kind of protecting it. But I do think we misinterpret the talents a little bit in the sense of, the guy wasn't really hoarding it because he wanted to keep it for himself. He actually, for me, I think he misinterpreted who the master was, because he said he perceived him to be a evil, mean man,
harsh,
and,
yeah,
and a harsh guy. And so it's like he was doing it. So he's like, I don't want to lose it, because if I lose it, he's gonna come after me. So I'm just gonna put it out there. Yeah. But
play
I do
it safe.
Yes, and then he got that taken away and given to the one with 10. And so here's what I think Oswald's probably trying to say here, is that when God entrusts us with a gift, mm-hmm, we need to use it. And Peter tells us that, using the gifts that God's given us to serve one another. And I think that if we just let something hoard up, or even if God's blessed you with finances, or God's blessed you with ability to administrate, or giftings of counseling or ministering in any capacity, I think it is very essential to use those gifts. He gave it to you for a certain reason, whatever that tool or resource is. And I do think it can become a form of spiritual dry rot. I think, too, those who, that when we do bring that to the table and begin to multiply, and God uses us to accomplish those things with the giftings he put in us, then he can trust us with more.
Yeah.
I just don't ever see the kingdom hoarding things up. And I think hoarding at some point becomes a lack of trust for tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's how I would see it.
And everything we have, everything about us is for a reason, a purpose. You know, God designed us for a purpose. And he expects us to use the giftings and the talents and everything that we have for his glory.
Yeah. And you can see it like in natural means. Like, I guess one of the, you know, anytime like a movie or a show comes out with the apocalyptic type thing, or I don't know if y'all have ever, like, you know, seen like doomsday stuff, like where they're prepping for it or gathering stuff, and they're having garages full of water bottles and what's the military meals, what are they called,
MREs.
They're doing all the shelf life foods that will last years and years and years.
Yeah,
there you could see some of that as wisdom, but you could also see it as like, you know, we're storing up for the, and even the Lord had them do that, like gave Joseph a dream to store up the storehouse, mm-hmm, to pack the storehouse for a period of time. But that was more like God spoke directly to him. That's how you accomplish it. So you could see either way, like maybe God's leading you to do that and you feel like that, or maybe it could be a lack of trust in the Lord tomorrow for your tomorrow, because that's what he told the disciples. Don't take an extra cloak. Don't take it. Don't take extra food. Just go and I'm going to provide. I'll be honest with you. I think that would be one of the, I think I would be more apt to find, I'd be quicker to find rejoicing over a beating than I would be good at, like, don't take nothing with you. Like, I really do think that would probably be a struggle for me, and I would have to have the grace of God upon my life to have that faith. I would need that gift of faith in that area, especially as one big family.
I'm kind of the same way. You know, I like to plan ahead and be prepared and all that.
I mean, just imagine like waking up tomorrow and saying, get in the car, honey. We're going to the beach. And no bags, no food.
Or in the case of Abraham, we're going somewhere.
Now you could say that's on vacation.
The Lord will tell us.
That's not a mission trip. That's a vacation. Like, all right, well, I'll wake up tomorrow and say, honey, get the kids. We're going to empty the bank account. And we're going to fly down to Puerto Rico with Deanna and Alonzo for a month. Don't even get the bags. We're just going.
Well, like, it's warm, so you wouldn't need that many clothes.
I'm telling you, I think I would be very honest. I want to say, yeah, I would have that kind of faith. But I think I would struggle with that a little bit. Like, it would be, I would need the grace of God upon my life to be able to have that kind of faith. And so I feel like, because there is that potential of what Oswald Chambers says, to hoard things up. Because I think in our hoarding, it's almost a safety net. And we see it as a safety net sometimes.
Which ultimately, though, is really a lack of faith.
Yes. So that was my confessional moment. I think I would struggle with that more than rejoicing over a beating. Is I want you to take a trip and not take an extra coat or food. I'm like, well, I love food, Lord. And when I go on a trip, it's like 2 hours I'm eating. All right. What is the hope of his calling mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18?
Hold on. I knew I had this quote, but I can't remember who it was from. I didn't write that down. It says, God can do more with your surrender than he can with your control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure who said that. It was not me, but
it's good, though.
God can do more with your surrender than he can with your control.
Yeah. And I think that even applies to really what we were talking about yesterday. Like, walking in the victory over sin isn't about you getting more control over it. Mm-hmm. It's about you surrendering yourself to him. Like, and there is a part where we carry our cross, we crucify our flesh. Like, there is that part. Like, I do understand that part. But I do think that in all things, I've got to surrender it to him. And the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, isn't always what we think. Like, I can just control everything. It's really, if you dive deep into the Greek, I feel like he's saying more along the lines of where we're relinquishing control to the Spirit of God. Like, I'm submitting myself to him in all things. I'm willing to lose control so he can take control. Because the last thing I want to do is be God's co-pilot. I want him to pilot this thing. Like, I don't want my hand on the steering wheel.
You don't like that bumper sticker.
I do not like it.
No, me neither.
Like, he needs to pilot this thing because I know where I'll drive us. Yeah. So,
it's not even a bumper sticker. It's a license plate. Yeah.
Well, let's start. Yeah. Ms. Gretchen, can you read 1:18 and you all start for a second?
Okay. Ephesians 1:18, the eye of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling.
Good, how
and
are
what
you?
The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Okay, yeah.
So that was your question, right?
Yeah. What is the hope of his calling? Actually, we may need to read a little bit more than that.
Because the trivia question is a different one.
I've started a study on this.
You're good, though.
I think there's something here.
That's what we're getting ready to head into. But the trivia question was Paul.
Well, verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the sentence.
Sorry about that.
I thought there should be three things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm here now. This is verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He may give you that. Mm-hmm. The eyes of understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his glory and the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So I'm going to be studying on those three things there. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory and the inheritance of the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. But my question is, what is the hope of his calling? So I think I have a pretty good understanding of the other two. But
Martin Lloyd-Jones,
okay,
he preached a whole sermon on this, actually, the hope of his calling. You can find that online, Jason, if you're studying it.
I am studying it.
Have you ever heard Martin Lloyd-Jones?
I have not.
He wrote probably one of the best books on preaching it's probably the number one read book on preaching. Than
I feel
any
like
other.
I've got some books by him.
Yeah.
Martin Lloyd-Jones.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Ron did.
But he says, the hope of his calling, actually, I just had it, and I started talking about it. There we go. The hope of the calling refers to the assurance and certainty we have in our salvation by God's calling. This is opposed to the general call. So he's talking about God's drawing us. It's the hope of the calling, that we are assured salvation. To push a little farther, like, the hope of his calling is that he has called me.
Mm-hmm.
And that would go back to John 6:44. No one comes to the Father except what? The Spirit of God draws them.
Right.
Unless they come through me. And we can trust that the Spirit of God called me, and it's the hope of his calling. Like, he has called me. He's called me by name. I know his voice because his sheep hear his voice. And it's like the hope of the calling is knowing that Christ has drawn me to the Father is a hope to me. That it's not, I just made an intellectual decision, but there was a witness in my spirit that called me to the Father. He opened my eyes. He unlocked my deaf ears. And I think this is a hope that sometimes when you just repeat the sinner's prayer that you don't have. Like, I just repeated it one day. But whenever you're drawn, like you remember the day you got born again, you felt that calling of the Holy Spirit in your life. You felt that pulling. And I think that's a hope unto us. It's the salvation. That's kind of how I would see that portion of the text. But, and it seems to be that's probably what Martin Lloyd-Jones and some other ones have
thought
on that too.
I like it. That's kind of what I was leaning toward.
And I think it does line up with verse 17, may give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. How is that going to happen? The Holy Spirit. And when the eyes of your heart is enlightened, I can finally see him because I now have the calling of the Lord to come unto himself, and he used the Holy Spirit to enlighten my eyes, my heart.
It's a little confusing, I suppose, to use the word know and hope in the same sentence, you know, because we oftentimes say, well, I hope I, you know, win tonight's basketball game.
You know, I used to pastor a guy.
Yeah.
He struggled with this concept for years.
Yeah.
And there's a hope, I think, that denotes doubt almost. Like,
right.
I'm not for sure this is going to happen, but I hope it does.
I hope the Cats win tonight or whatever, you know.
But then I think there's a hope. Like, I'm not sitting here going, like, I hope I get to heaven. It's like the thing that gives me hope is heaven.
Right.
Like,
sure,
it could be rough today, but there's hope because I'm going to one day this imperishable take on perishable. So regardless of what you're going through, there's still hope because there's always something greater awaiting me. So I think it's how you use hope.
And the interlinear for that is, you know, is just kind of the opposite of doubt. It says it's to anticipate, usually with pleasure.
Yep.
Expectation.
Uh-huh,
or confidence. Faith, hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think there is a hope that we say in American language, like, I don't think it's going to happen, but I really hope it does.
Yeah. Like, Hannah's not here today. She's sick, and I hope she didn't give it to me.
Yes. Yeah. But then there's like this expectation of heaven. Like heaven is, it's a hope to me. I have this earnest expectation of heaven one day. And I think
that's different.
I think that is different.
I get that.
And I feel like that's what.
Because he says that you may know that hope.
Yeah.
Know is being confident or assured of it.
Yeah. You to know that. I think Paul said it. I don't remember where else. You all probably do off the top of your head. You know, he said that the temporal sufferings of this world pale in comparison to the eternal glory that's awaiting on. Is it Corinthians?
I do not know.
Or Rome? I can't remember. It's in there. I quoted it. I just don't remember the reference off the top of my head. It's a Monday morning. Those are rough. But he did say that. He said the temporal sufferings of this age pale in comparison to the eternal glory that awaits upon us. I feel like it's a Roman statement, but I'm not 100% sure. But I think even that's the hope that Paul had. You may have temporal sufferings, but it pales in comparison to the eternal glory that we will anticipate. That's the hope that Paul had.
That's good.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared.
Yes.
Okay, that's Romans 8:18.
I thought it was 8. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go there if I was wrong, but I thought it sounded like a Romans 8 verse. Okay, well, let's reread this trivia question one more time, then we're going to...
Oh, you got a phone call. That wasn't a trivia answer?
Well, the listener, and he was... I mean, he had a really good answer, but he had answered the question, the Bible question, because he thought the Bible question was the trivia question.
Okay.
So the Ephesians 1:18.
Okay.
So he just tuned in, and so...
Okay.
So we're going to reread the trivia question that Miss Gretchen gave us. Paul said he would go to the Romans after he returned from his journey where? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. Well, hallelujah. Trust in God. What a great song that is. Trust in God. Well, no answer for the trivia question yet. We will rerun it one more time on the break before. I do believe Miss Debbie Childress is coming in with us today.
Okay.
It's always a great joy to have her. She brings a lot of
just energy.
Energy, but it's like motivation. Like you do want to like, okay, I want to serve. Like, how do I help? And then I realize how busy our schedule is, and we're like, oh, okay, can we do this on this day? Can you reschedule that whole thing? Yeah. And so, but it seems like every time there's a cool, really great event you want to help at, you've already got something scheduled.
Yeah. Well, it was just like this past Saturday. I know I joked about it, but I really did want to come and help with that because I do enjoy those kind of days, you know, because I'm around kids all the time. And so it is good to fellowship, even with working with other adults.
Yeah.
You know, so I was looking forward to it, but we had that tournament, so I would say stuck with kids again.
It was one of the best work days I've ever been involved with in any church because the turnout was incredible for a work day, like really good. I was trying to find projects for doing because I had just like four or five projects. I'm like, if we get those done, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I was just, at one point, I was like, okay, I have so many people. I don't even know what to get done. But it was, I mean, there's a lot of great fellowship, a lot of laughter. And even our little kids, like there was a lot of little kids. I know Hannah had Ivy with her, and took a picture. It was she was wiping down the mother's room with Hannah, like cleaning it. And she even told Heather
she
later
was
on.
She intent with her.
Yeah.
And she was, it was starting to sprinkle, you know, a little bit, and it was cold and windy, and she was carrying around little stuffed dolls,
little Spider-Mans,
and she wanted to go somewhere out the door. She asked me to open the door for her, and I was like, well, where are you going? And I didn't see any adults around. And then she headed, like, I thought she said something about mommy, and then, but she was heading, you know, like, toward your house, and I was like, wait a minute.
she was done.
Heather said, who put your hair up? She goes, oh, my friend did that, talking to Hannah. My friend. And I'm like,
so I convinced her to find you, and we found you, and then
she was looking for Hannah because she was going back to the radio station because Hannah was detailing in here. But yeah, it's Hannah. I did pancakes. You missed my pancakes. Everybody,
oh yeah,
everybody loves those chocolate chip pancakes, and I'm like,
yeah, I'm just regular old traditional.
Yeah, I had some of those too. But I got up here early, and I had actually worked on somebody's car till late the night before. I didn't even get home till after 11. I had to pick Nolan up, and then I got home after 11.
Yeah.
So I was really exhausted. Got up early, and Hannah actually went back there and stayed with my littles while I went up here, and so she said, "Well, I'll just get everybody dressed and bring them on up." So I look up, it's probably like 9:15, 9:20, and here comes Hannah and Ethan with Ezra and Liam and Ivy and Cloud and Eliza and like this whole train. And I look at Ethan, I go, just good practice. He said, well, I don't know about this many. But it looked like one big old happy family walking in there. It was a lot of fun. It was really a lot of fun. We had a lot of good projects done and a lot of good fellowship and gosh, that kitchen looked so good. Miss Gretchen and them did a great job. And
I noticed that yesterday morning.
Miss Gretchen and Miss Betty redecorated our lobby. And Jeremy, Seth, and Jacob, they steamed all the bathrooms and the lobby floor. Looked great. Okay. Justin and David were climbing ladders, stapling our ceiling back together. That's just, those boards want to pop out. So yesterday.
Well, that's good.
It was just a lot. We got a couple projects done in the youth room, some cleaning done.
I saw Chuck Hoover was helping them too,
wasn't he? Mm-hmm. I sent Chuck over there. I said, look, that's a high ladder. And I said, I would just feel better if Justin had another person holding it. and then he fussed at me because the pulpit he just built for me, he's already having a crack on the edge of it. He said, how hard are you hitting this thing?
I noticed that yesterday, yeah.
I said, well, I'm trying. Let's see here.
Oh, by the way, the second chapter of Acts, they disbanded in 1988. So that's why you probably never heard of them. You were in diapers, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'd say I still was potty training at that point.
Oh, when did you say you were born?
February 13th, 1987.
Okay, yeah.
And so...
Yeah. So you could have been about a year old.
Just about a year. So I probably still wasn't.
I didn't realize the contemporary Christian music scene started in the 70s, the early 70s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Todd Taylor loves this one band. Todd may still be listening. Petra?
Is that correct? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What year was Petra?
They just had their 50th anniversary, like, reunion tour.
I think it's Petra that Todd Taylor loves. Yeah.
Now, my sister goes to church with the drummer.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, of Petra?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, I think he's done. He's pretty, he's pretty old. I mean, he's really old. But, yeah.
Now they
one of the original drummer, yeah.
And they were contemporary, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're more rock type than I would appreciate, but their lyrics are very sound, very solid.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure Petra's the one that Todd's talked about quite a bit with me. Pretty sure. Gosh, my.
Yep.
All right. Explain Matthew 10:22. Explain Matthew 10:22.
All right.
If you get there, Miss Gretchen, you feel free to take off.
Matthew 10:22. I'm in slow motion today. I left my phone at home, so. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
How about that? We actually talked about that today.
Second part, he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Well, I do think you have to back all the way up to 16, mm-hmm. and he's talking about, Todd said, yes, he's on, so Petra is the one. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolf. So he's saying, I'm sending you out, and there's going to be people that try to devour you. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues, which we see in Acts actually happening already. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. See that happening in Acts. And when they delivered you over, do not be anxious about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you shall say, what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Man, that's really good. I love that. Like, the Holy Spirit's going to speak through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. Jesus is basically warning there's going to come division. Like, when you speak truth, truth does have... Here's the thing about truth, and the gospel in particular. We briefly touched this yesterday. It demands a response. Like, the gospel is going to demand a response. Preach correctly. Truth demands a response. Now, that response may not always be positive. You can reject truth. And when you reject truth, so often, as we've seen in Acts chapter 5, and people continue to preach truth, those who have rejected truth have given themselves over to the spirit of this age, and that spirit starts to manifest a lot of times in hatred and anger. And you see where even families are turning against family, and Jesus says, this is going to happen, and you will be hated for all by all for my name's sake. Now, this all, I don't think, like, if Jason preaches Jesus, I'm not going to hate him for it. I think he's talking about the all who are not believers, mm-hmm. the all given to this spirit of this age, and you will be hated for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved, saying, don't quit. Like, yeah, you're amongst wolves, but keep going. Don't be afraid to speak truth. The spirit of your father is speaking through you. How comforting and how, like, stimulating that should be to our spirit. Like, it's not our words that we're speaking. It's the spirit of our father speaking through us. And I know even when I go preach, like, yeah, the last 2 weeks I'm doing a lot more notes because it's a lot more teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Heather yesterday, I said, do you think people's like, I'm not really a note preacher, so I don't know how good I am at it or not. But I was like, you think people's getting bored of me reading so much? Because I'm reading a lot more than I've ever had before behind a pulpit. But but I'm sitting there in that notes, and I'm even in my notes, though, I'm saying, Lord, you speak. Like, yeah, I have notes. But I'm trusting that the Lord gave me those notes, that the Lord instructed me those words.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, sometimes when I sit at my computer, they're not polished, they're not edited. That's just my rough notes. And anybody wants to chicken scratch through them, they can. It gives you a lot of the scriptures and a lot of the context I'm trying to preach through. But I know there's times at my computer I'm just starting to type, and I just type. Like, it's just, you feel like the Spirit mm-hmm. of the Lord's taking over your hands and you're just typing. I guess that would what it'd be to be an author. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is really what's happening here, is the Spirit of the Lord speaking through them.
Right.
And there does demand a response then, but that response may not always be positive. You may get hate. And Jesus is saying, you will be. you will be hated. What's the King James say?
In verse 22?
Mm-hmm.
And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And it's noted that men is italicized, so it just really, it just read, and ye shall be hated, and ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake.
Dake says that the end is referring to the end of life here.
Hmm.
Well, and then he says, but both end of life and the, of this age, and as referred to in Matthew 24, 4 through 14. So I don't. That was my question, and that we were Kelly and I were talking about. Endureth to the end shall be saved.
Personally, I would see it differently. I don't think it's the end of the age. I think it would be the end of our age, like when we
end of. Your
when
existence.
We die, like
your
when existence. We die, uh-huh. That's how I would see it. But.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it does almost kind of denote a works type thing. If you stick it out, then the Lord is going to save you. But I know that's not the correct way of approaching it. So
Yes, it was. You got it, brother.
Your question.
Thank you.
What exactly is the Lord meaning? This is in red, so is Jesus speaking. So. I always have that curiosity.
Yeah. That is an answer for our trivia question. Brother Tom Mahoney got it correct.
Okay.
Who, where did Paul said he would go to the Romans after he returned from his journey? Where? It was Spain. Romans 15:24.
I had no idea. Yeah.
Romans 15:24. Good job, Brother
You
Tom.
Were giving us the notes where they had the trivia question and answer in it, and I don't like that. If you don't mind me saying so, I like to be in the dark as well.
Well,
so I'm glad.
I'll just mark through yours with a Sharpie next time.
Redact mine.
I didn't get my notes out this morning. I didn't have a chance to do that this morning. So,
I like to be in the dark as well because I like to see if I know the answer, and then. But I've noticed I've been wrong a whole lot more than I've been right lately. So it's getting demoralizing.
I've run across some of these. The other night I was going to get the trivia, and I found this site, and you could answer the questions, and I got distracted. The first one came up, and I answered it, and it was multiple choice. And then I was looking at something else, and I was reading, and I went back, and it was like, I didn't realize it was a timer. My time had run out.
Oh, for the question?
Yeah, so I didn't know, and the whole quiz, I think, I don't know how many questions was on it, but anyway, and I didn't know if my answer was right. So
you could probably Googled it, or whatever search engine you have.
Yeah, well, I was like, I don't even remember what the question was or what. I was like, well, what happened to it?
Yeah. Now, Jason, I want to go back a couple weeks. Actually, it's a couple weeks for you, but it's just last week for us when we actually got to the question. And I want to see what your take is on the question you gave us. Actually, it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
My study Bible says the word not
in
Isaiah 9:3 does not belong there. Do you agree? So I'm curious of what your take on that is. I gave my take last week after some study into it, but I'm curious of what yours is.
Isaiah 9:3.
Because this is really a question about, I think the King James is the only one that says not. The New King James, ESV and ASB, all other translations do not include the word not. Only the King James does. So I'm curious of what you postulate.
Let me get there. And
Dake said he don't think it should be there, right?
Yeah, he's got a big asterisk beside it, and it says, the word not should not be here. For it is out of harmony with the rest of the verse, which says that the people do rejoice. The true rendering of this verse is, you have multiplied the joy and increased the joy. They rejoice in the harvest as those who divide the spoils.
Yeah.
The reason for this is the oppressor being defeated and the driven out of the land. So
do you tend to agree with Dake on this one?
I do, because it doesn't seem to fit. But my, I guess, I don't trust myself as much as I would, you know, the early church fathers. So why did they include it? That would be my question. If it doesn't fit there, why is it included in the, you know, original text and, you know, passed down from generation to generation?
See, that's what I try to find. Like with the original,
yeah.
Did it include it? And I was struggling to find mm-hmm. if the Hebrew did.
Right. Because it does seem like when you read through this verse, that verse 3 says the total opposite of everything else in that text.
Yes. Because even the gladness of heart and all these kind of things going on there. Here's where I came to. I don't know if it was in the actual original. I cannot find evidence to or for.
Okay.
I mean, to or against for that. And I've looked quite a few resources through mm-hmm. on this chapter. I mean, on that verse, once you gave me that question. I feel like this could be one of those spots that we don't fully understand the old English language. Was the writers of the King James trying to tell us something in their own words or their own language that we would misinterpret? Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of sometimes where translationally they did, grammar was different for them, ways they worded stuff. And so that's what I postulated last week. Like, I don't think not in the terms we see not as it should be in there, because I do agree with Dake, and I was just seeing what Dake wanted to, I wanted to see what Dake actually said, mm-hmm. that it doesn't seem to belong there in contextualization. But then I did say, and I did read on one place that was a defense. It was one of those King James only sites. And so, mm-hmm. And they postulated something to the effect of translational understanding. They were kind of circular in their argument. So I didn't really grasp what they were trying to argue for it being there. But I do think that's kind of what I gleaned from it is, was there a translational misunderstanding and that's a possible confusion. We're interpreting Rome because we're interpreting it from a modern day English standpoint instead of seeing how the old English would have been written.
The British Family Bible, I have a my Power Bible has different ones, and it was saying it like, is it not like, thou hast multiplied the nations and wilt thou not increase the joy? Yeah, thy joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest and his men. It's kind of more like of a question than it, you know, an answer in it then.
Like saying, if you multiply nations, will you not also increase the joy?
And that's what I thought. Maybe it's like, I'm thinking we're interpreting it wrong in its language.
In the old English.
Okay. Like what he was trying to say in the old English.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Instead of like they're trying to lead us astray, because I don't think that's the case either.
Like there should be a question there, question mark there, instead of a statement.
They use the word fishes. We would never say fishes. Mm-hmm. We would just say fish, five mm-hmm. fish and two loaves. Like, mm-hmm. It's just different in grammar. And that's kind of where I came to the conclusion too last week, is I feel like they're probably just, we're not understanding fully. Me and Hannah got to that point. Mm-hmm. But we had talked about it a day or two and kind of came back to it. I do feel like if it's saying he's not giving them joy, that would be wrong.
Yeah, I do think that would be totally out of context.
But I don't think – I think we're misinterpreting the old English there. And so – and I think that's what's going on. But I just wanted to pick your brain, because that did stir up a lot of conversation last week. And
right.
Everybody, I'm sure everybody thought I was just being defensive of my ESV.
Jameson, Foss, and Brown is kind of doing the same thing as the British Bible. You know, kind of more like a question that they're then kind of answering it to it.
Mm-hmm. A rhetorical question, is that what you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Will he not increase joy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And you know, I bring up all these questions, you know, for conversation, but I hope I don't ever give the impression that I doubt God's word or that I'm trying to, spread discord or anything like that. These are more just observational things so that we can kind of work through all of us together and come to a better understanding. So, that's the intent there. But I do love God's word and know that it is true and accurate and stands the test of time. So, but I do enjoy, you know, looking at so-called difficult text and just seeing, you know, come to a better understanding. because I think it's good that we can come to that clarity, you know, and understand God's word together, knowing that it is true and accurate, it is, you know, it's the living, inspired word of God.
And I think that, I mean, how many times over the centuries, the decades, all these people's tried to find these, oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
The Bible is wrong. And we covered this last week, like, there's Bible translations that have grammar issues or just need to be written somehow, like maybe there's a mistranslation there.
Yeah.
When we say the inerrancy of Scripture, we're not saying that a translation is never going to have grammar mistakes or something like that. Even like the King James, the 1611, I think it was updated pretty rapidly, and then a major update in like 1776 too. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, most of the King James Bibles today, you know, some of them are going back to them, but there's that major King James update in 1900 with the Cambridge King James that a lot of people's King James Bibles, actually that 1900 series. So it's like they're constantly being updated. And so that doesn't mean it's the inerrancy's broken. Like inerrancy right. means the Bible is never wrong. And
which
so,
version did Paul use? The 1900 or
Paul he would have used probably the Septuagint in a lot of areas. Yeah, but I do think that's one misunderstanding we have about the inerrancy of Scripture is like, oh, we gotcha. That word don't belong here. But if we take time to study it out, the Bible never is wrong.
God's word is true, yeah. Yeah. It's living, breathing, and it's true. You know, we may mess up a translation or whatever, but his word is true.
Amen. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, get Miss Debbie settled in here, and then we're going to come back in here and talk about the Grayson County Alliance. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, let's do a song for us here. We're going to do Changed. We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. We've got with us Miss Debbie Childress, who's no stranger to the broadcast. We always love when Miss Debbie comes on with us. Now, she don't have the big duck. It's not that time of the year.
No, too early in the
year. I always love the big duck, though.
Well, Quacky misses you, too.
So it's good to have you, Miss Debbie. How was your Christmas, Thanksgiving, and New Year's?
Well, I'm blessed, but I was sick the whole time. But it's
oh,
okay.
No.
It's okay. Me and half the rest of the world. But
yeah,
it's unfortunately that time and season. And like I was telling Miss Gretchen, that I probably wore myself out and set myself up for that. But
yeah,
the Lord said, "Sit still, girl," and I did.
Holidays are amazing, but boy, can they be exhausting too.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Well, it's good to have you. So tell us what you got going on in the Grayson County Alliance.
Well, I just like to say, first of all, thank you to the station and the church and the folks listening for all their support. And it's been a really trying season for all food pantries because of back in September and October, the SNAP benefit issues that none of us were ready for, didn't expect it. So we were preparing for our normal crazy, and then it ramped up to a crazy. And our numbers jumped up from averaging about 750 to now we're serving over 830 families a month regularly. And that workload just really put a pressure on our agency, and I know it did others. So for all the people that step in financially to support agencies like mine or our agency, whether it's time, talent, or resources, it's so meaningful. And the work doesn't stop for us because the holiday stopped. It ramps up then because we do extra programming and things, but the families are still there that need support financially. They need support in the knowledge that we can give them, in the trainings we can give them. They need support emotionally and spiritually. They need support with the food. And so that doesn't change all year long. Hopefully throughout the year, some of those people stabilize and move out of the system. And I recently had a phone call from a lady in her 60s that said, called and said, "I'm no longer going to get services." And I was like, "Okay, what's going on?" And she said, "No, our finances have stabilized, and you all have helped us this past year and made all the difference. And thank you for stepping in." And so there are people moving out of the system, but there are people moving in. So it's a constant flow, and all we can do is to do the best, but we only do our best because so many people partner with us. So I want to start my year with gratitude and just being appreciative. It's really easy to look at the negative in the world. There are so many positive things, so many good things happening around us, good people around us, and good opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus no matter what we're doing. So
I saw a picture, I don't know if you had put it out or maybe the Lions or whatever, of that really cold. We had two or three cold days.
Yeah, we did those outside.
And you had the volunteers show up. And
yeah,
and
we
were outside. Those are some volunteers there.
That's right. We did two. We did a Saturday for our planned Christmas basket giveaway where we served about 737 families with a complete Christmas meal through a partnership in Grayson County. And then that next Monday, that Sunday was like 10 below.
Yeah.
Monday was like 10. Yeah. So it was much better. But in a partnership with Warren Rural Electric, we gave away hams to over 500 people. And then we had some stuff we gave away. So, yeah, we did two pretty close days in the cold. Probably didn't help anybody's immune system. But
well, you didn't have to worry about the ham spoiling or anything.
No, it was completely frozen. But it was a good day, and some great volunteers came in, and it was good to see our community. And that takes place because our fairgrounds let us go there and do that for free. Our county helps me move food around. The city unloads it. You know, it's just a great partnership with our community. Those things happen. But, yes, it was a very cold day that day, both days. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? This is like not a normal question I'd ask you, and Jason's like, "Oh, this gets dangerous."
Go ahead.
And we'll definitely get to the events and all that's going on.
This, Debbie, this is what it feels like for us at Bethel. Whenever Pastor Aaron says, "I want everybody to stand up, I want you to do something," that feeling of dread that just comes over you.
Pastor Jerry does those things too, so it's okay.
When he said, "I have a question for you," I'm like, "Oh boy."
This is an easy question. I think you'll like this one. What is probably the most impactful story you have from your time at the Grayson County Food Alliance? Like an encounter with a person or something, and you don't have to say names, I'm sure you won't.
Sure.
But just something that's probably changed you in ways that you couldn't express.
I think it's the times that the Lord has taught me that I can get so busy doing what I'm doing and forget to look my eyes up and look at the person in the eyes across from who I'm, quote, serving. And I vividly, in the middle of all of the transition of our renovation and, you know, how we got smaller and smaller, kind of still do our work while the building was being renovated, I vividly remember we were really busy. The girls asked me to come out and serve. So I jumped in a seat and started the paperwork and gone through a couple of people, and a gentleman sat down. And the Lord brought to my mind a couple of things I knew. I remember he had called and changed his appointment. And so I said, "Oh, you got to come. I'm so glad you made it this second time. I know you changed your appointment." He said, "Yeah, I had to take my friend to the doctor." I said, "Oh, well, that's so kind of you. How's he doing?" "He passed away." And, you know, like, and just all of a sudden it was nothing to do with food.
Yeah.
And here was this gentleman in his late 60s, early 70s, and had lost his best friend. And hadn't even had time to grieve that. And food support was so important to him that he needed to go ahead and come to us in the midst of that. And I just kind of stopped everything, and we talked for a little bit and kind of slowed down services a little bit. But it was so important in that moment to just be a neighbor that cared that somebody else was suffering. And I easily could have missed that if the Lord hadn't prompted me to ask that question. And I think that's the most impactful thing to me, is when I stop and just encounter people at a deeper level, not a, "Oh, you need something and I can give it to you and go on." And it happens. I can't help but, you know, because we have so much work to do that sometimes that happens. And I'm sure there are people that would say, "Well, she didn't even really smile at me," or anything like that. But I really try.
I can't see that happening, Miss Debbie. But it seems like you smile all the time.
Well, I do, because I truly am, you know, have peace and joy in my heart.
Well, just serious.
But yeah,
joyful, yeah.
I get busy.
Yeah,
I get busy doing, because, you know, like, I'm a doer by nature, and I know God didn't create me to be a human doing. He created me to be a human being, to be in the moment, to be very present with what he's doing and who he's doing it with, and to listen and engage and seek to understand more than I am seeking to be understood, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in all of those moments. And that gentleman and I just spent a little time grieving together, and I listened to him tell stories about his friend for just a minute and encouraged him to find others who knew his friend, that they can walk through this grief together and to be encouraged. And I still see that gentleman, and it's just, you never know in the moment why somebody's there, and they might be grumpy, and you could assume they're just grumpy, but it could be the hurt that's pushing at them, and it's so those good. Kind of things.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, Jesus really exemplified that in so many different facts. I mean, so many times when he did a miracle or did a wonder, it used the word, he had pity, or he had empathy, compassion, uses these different words, and it is that, like, we can be so busy that we forget to love, and we forget to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And I know when I go and make a visit, like when somebody at the church or somebody we know has a baby, and of course we always ask. It's different now. Like, used to, everybody just piled in there. Some parents want you, some parents don't. So we always ask, like, you know, do you want us to come visit? Or do you want us to hang out when you get there? But whenever a mom just has a baby and I do get to go to the hospital, I try to make a practice of this, not because I just want to, I have my system in this way. I never go to the baby first. I go to the mom, and I want to talk to the mom. I want to say, how are you? And I minister to that mom, and I love on the mom for a while, because I feel like that baby gets all the attention, and the mom just went through this horrific situation. And when you were talking about that, makes me think of, like, that's why my heart's gripped for that mom. How often is the mom forgotten? Mm-hmm. How often is the guy forgotten, even though we're helping the guy?
Yeah.
And so I just love that. I think that's what Jesus showed us. And I think that as we love people, gosh, what a wonderful way to serve people. Mm-hmm. But what a wonderful door is that service opens to people's hearts.
We talk about, I go to Cross Point in Litchfield, and Brother Jerry always reminds us that there's no way we can love God without loving people. And our, you know, our motto is loving God by loving people. And, you know, it we will show the world our love of him by how we love them. And that doesn't mean we'll always agree or be on the same sides of issues or not. You know, we will definitely have to stand as the body of Christ in truth of God's word. And it is in conflict with the world, and they'll never like that. And it'll never feel good to us, because we'll be looking at somebody saying, hey, this is God's word says this. I didn't write it. You got your issues. You got it with him. But I believe it. And, but there's still, you know, there's still a way to be loving. And sometimes truth and boundaries and no are all examples of loving, even though they don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. See, Jason, that wasn't too bad of a question.
No, it wasn't. It was actually not bad at all.
Maybe he's getting better.
It was one of your better questions.
Well,
I appreciate the opportunity, because, you know, I've told you all before that the only reason I serve at the Alliance is an opportunity to serve my Father in heaven and be his hands and feet and here on earth. And I feel called to that. And until he calls me to something else, I'll do it with my whole heart. And the Alliance is a secular agency, but I serve in a very spiritual way and hope to represent my Heavenly Father well every day. And for the days you catch me that I'm not, remind me of who I really am, what I'm really supposed to be doing.
Amen. Amen. So, I need that same reminder.
Don't we all? I mean, it's that, because people that are not of faith, and for those of us that, you know, are public about our faith and very vocal, they'll catch us grumpy or whatever, and they'll see you're not a Christian. Well, that's not true. I'm still battling with my flesh. Mm-hmm. I've got a flesh and a spirit, and I let the flesh win today. And my God is so good that I can run to him and say, I'm less than, Lord, but you say I'm enough. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think it's an opportunity to also, you know, tell people more about Jesus by humbling yourself to admit your own sin and your own faults. And so just trying to do the best I can.
I love it. Well, tell us about these events you brought in.
Yeah, we've got it's a lot of routine things that we do each year, but it's season. I don't want to bum anybody out this morning, but it is time to be getting your tax documents together and getting ready to file your taxes. There will be some changes to the tax filing this year, and we're working on our trainings and stuff right now. But that'll include, you know, there's no tax on tips now, no tax on overtime. For so much. And so that'll help families out. There'll be some benefits for all that, but some changes to the tax code that'll come through. So you just need to make sure you have all your documents in place, no matter where you're getting.
I thought you were going to say all your ducks in a row.
Well, that comes later.
Okay.
All your documents.
You missed a golden opportunity.
No. I don't want to confuse people with the time of the year.
All right.
The puns have to come in August and September.
Right now, I'm just going to bowl you over with information. It'll happen. So we have a tax site, and it's called VITA, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. And we've been running this program for 10 years. And in the past 10 years, we've helped our community and surrounding area regain $3.7 million in tax revenue, and we've saved over $400,000 in tax filing fees. So we file taxes for free. Right now, we think the number's going to be $69,000 for gross household income or less for us to be able to do your taxes. Now, that number doesn't matter if you're a veteran or a senior or somebody in your household has a disability. Those guidelines change and go up so we can help more people. If you have farm income or business income, that's outside of the scope of what we can do. But generally speaking, we've done over 2,000, I think, filings in the past 10 years. But we did about 300 last year. We're on par for doing that this year. Our site opens on January the 26th. I do want to caution everybody. You'll start seeing commercials and billboards and advertisements about come get your taxes filed now, and you can get your money now. And those are loans that you're going to pay a high percentage on. High interest on. And you're actually not going to get back as much money as you would if you do those. And just wait just a little bit. Because literally nobody commercially or even our nonprofit tax filing site can file until the day it opens. We all open the same day. And so there's no...
And that's January 26th?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's when we'll start filing. And we can electronically file taxes. We can do paper file taxes. We helped a gentleman last year get caught up on 10 years of not filing taxes.
Oh, my.
And he came to us quickly when he got his license revoked by the state because of non-filing. There's more people that go to jail on non-filing than do non-payment. You have to file your taxes. And there's opportunities, so many opportunities for young families to benefit from our free tax filing and help them recoup that income and stabilize their household. We've had lots of stories of people prepaying their rent, buying a reliable transportation, a lot of basic need stuff once they get their tax return. And so we'll have a checklist on our website this week. I'm working on those things of things you need to have with you this year. Current ID is a tough one. It can't be expired. So look at your IDs now. And you can go in Grayson County and get your...
Especially if you have to get one.
Yeah, you can go to Grayson County over at the, what do you call it, driver's license place and get yours now. You don't have to travel to E-Town or Owensboro. So tax season is upon us. We have some great volunteers that we're training, and we'll be doing that. That'll be by appointment. So you'll just call the Alliance 270-259-4000 to make a tax appointment. That's going to be on Monday afternoon, evening, and Wednesday morning. And so it'll be 1 to 6 on Monday and 8:30 to 1:30 on Wednesday, trying to break it up a little bit for our tax preparers. It takes about 20 of us to do this program. And if anybody's interested in volunteering for something like this, there's still time to get you trained. We do our big training Saturday. And that's, again, just call the office, 270-259-4000.
And you all served over 300 people last year doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, y'all must be hitting it pretty hard then.
Oh, we are. Sorry.
Well, you only got till April, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, taxes usually there's April, then
well, you got
somebody calls in June, in July. I had somebody in September.
Wow.
So it can get extended. We have to set boundaries on it because we're relying on volunteers.
Well, actually, I think last year there was an extension given to just about anybody in Kentucky because of the...
If you were affected by...
The flood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, it wasn't an extension to pay.
Yeah.
It's an extension.
But never an extension to pay. Yeah.
So you had to go ahead and kind of prepay. So it was to your advantage, just do it.
Yeah.
And but people that in some of those instances lose all their paperwork. You know, like you have... it's hard enough for me to gather up... what I have now, and then if you say you have a fire or a flood or something that's destroyed your property, you know, that's a lot of tracking backwards trying to find it. So.
Absolutely.
Real quick before we move on to the Empty Bowls program, when you all do the tax assistance with them, do you is it kind of a teaching moment as well, or do you just kind of work?
Well, of course, it always is because our preparers are we're an IRS trained and certified program. So this is a federal government program across the U.S. So we're looking to inform and educate and help people understand why something might be an outcome or not. And so and then we also try to pair this with offering our financial literacy course,
right,
and the support that we can give that way. And we a lot of young people that come to us, they just know they got to file their taxes. They don't have some understanding behind it, and helping them see that
it's not as difficult as you might think if under many circumstances.
Right. Well, it may be as simple as us just being able to advise them of have how their W-2 may be wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're getting back so much money because their W-2 is wrong, or maybe they owe so much because of that. Mm-hmm. And to look at those things and if they had to pay, well, whatever you had to pay, divide it by 12 and ask your employer to take that out a month.
Yeah.
You know, extra. And, you know, so that you don't have this tax bill, or save that much each month so you can pay your tax bill.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of education through just the process.
Okay.
So we're super excited to do. That's a big component of what we want to do to step people up.
Well, we're going to run out of time if we don't start talking about the.
Well, it's save the date. It's right now. Everybody needs to get their calendar out and put February the 16th from 4 to 7. And we'll be at St. Joseph's Parish Hall there on Main Street in Litchfield for our annual Empty Bowls Simple Soup Supper. So this is just a great opportunity where community comes together to provide the meal, and then community comes together to eat the meal and support the Alliance. So we'll have soups and bread and dessert all donated by our community, and then we'll have this huge selection of bowls that have been designed by community members. We have some pottery from our high school and from Deb Mulligan, and I've got some pottery that I'm putting in that you can come. You get your ticket for your meal. It's $25. And you get to go through all the bowls and pick any bowl you want to. And so you could pick something that a 3-year-old's made or a 73-year-old's made, just whatever appeals to you. And it's just a great opportunity. And it's such a cool meal. So that night is just full of fun and fellowship for the people that come in and out. We do have usually some to-go boxes, but there'll be some great soup. I can guarantee the tortellini soup will be back this year.
I love tortellini soup.
Oh, it's really good. And we'll probably have some chili, vegetable soup, potato soup, and some specialty soups from some of our donors. And then we've got Kevin Mudd doing his fabulous bread. And Glenna Black has put together a great assortment with bakers that are providing this amazing dessert. And it's simply a special time together to come together and eat. We're looking for sponsors now, and a sponsor is $50, or every $50 that you spend gets you one free meal ticket, including a keepsake bowl, and we'd appreciate any of those. This is how the Alliance raises funds. We serve a government program, but we're not government funded, so we do these three fundraisers a year, and this is our first one. And so for anybody that's been to the event, they know how special it is, how much fun it is. We have a lot of people that come in groups, and they all just have their supper together. And then pick out their bowls and have a good time. And people come and stay, people come and go. But it is a great fellowship time. And we're just praying the weather will be lovely and we won't have to make any changes. But that's February the 16th from 4 to 7 at St. Joseph's. If you're interested in sponsoring, it's 270-259-4000. Just reach out to me at the Alliance.
Okay. Now, the potato soup.
Uh-huh.
Is this cheesy potato soup or the watery potato soup?
Cheesy.
I just ask him. This is a very important question.
I understand.
Yeah. Like, some potato soup just don't taste like potatoes. It's just like water with potato flavoring.
Yeah. I have a family member. I won't name any names, but I have a family member that made potato soup one time, and another family member said, "Where are the potatoes?"
Where are the potatoes? So, well, I feel like you will not be disappointed with this. And if you're unsure, you can always go for the tortellini because it's fantastic.
So what is tortellini? I've never had it.
It's like a pasta. It's sort of like a ravioli, but it has cheese in it. There's no you can put all kinds of
yeah. It's good. It's got but it's got like vegetables in it that you got to watch out for that. It's got spinach. And,
well,
but it's you know, it's you know excellent. It's one of our favorites.
I have a bit of a confession, and I know we're talking about important things, but. I love every vegetable in vegetable soup, but I don't like vegetable soup.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. But yeah. What?
But I love every vegetable that's in it.
Yeah, we love to have our vegetable soup because it's gluten free, and we have okay. gluten free desserts, and so we have.
Oh, there's desserts too.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Listen, those desserts are very fancy. We're so we appreciate Glenna Black who takes on all that work for me, and yeah, I don't even worry about it. I just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's cheesy potato soup, I do love cheesy potato soup.
Little known fact.
Yeah.
So, trivia.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left. My one question threw us off probably, but I love the answer. That's so good. I love that. But anything else? Any other events?
Well, I would just think this is no other events for the Alliance except, you know, if you need food support, if you're struggling and you live in Grayson County, give us a call, 270-259-4000. We are there to help. We can help in some way. Mm-hmm. If you don't know where to go and you live outside Grayson County, if you call us, we'll point you in the right direction. I'd encourage everybody to go to our website, gc-alliance.com, and to the Find Help tab. And you'll see our resource guide that we keep updated. If you scroll up below it are some great external resources that even go further if you're not finding what you're looking for. But there's not a reason not to reach out for help. We care about our friends and neighbors. It's just who we are as an agency. We are officially in our 26th year of serving Grayson County, and we will work hard this year to do the best we can. I'm super excited all about the things happening at the Alliance, but then I'm going to put a plug in for VBS.
It's right around the corner.
Vacation Bible School. Woo! If you're not already planning your vacation Bible school, get it done.
Oh.
I went.
I thought tax time was a little bit.
Yeah. Well, this is lots more fun.
It is.
I went to a training this week with Lifeway, and they really have drilled down, and they're looking at more apologetics. Diving deep, making sure that we have answers, that's not good. Sunday school answers, but deep, true answers that we're equipping children with as a foundation of their faith as they grow and encounter cultural answers that are contrary to God's word. And so I'm kind of a little jazzed up about VBS now. And it's just an important time. We've got to sow in to this generation because of this, so much the lies and that are out there that are so deceptive, the feels, mm-hmm. the feelings, and all that stuff. We need to equip ourselves. First, we have to know it and believe it.
That's right.
To teach it, but we need to be teaching our children who Jesus is.
Are you doing the Illumination Station?
Yes.
I can't wait.
It's this
is
great.
This is probably going to be my favorite one we've done lately.
Yeah, it's the music and good. Everything's good. But the depth of scripture is really good. Who is Jesus?
Yeah.
Helping children understand Jesus, not just Jesus is Savior, Jesus is the Messiah.
That's right.
The Christ, and He is the Anointed and Chosen One by God to save us from our sins.
So good.
And so
I'm gonna have to check this out. I haven't looked at it much.
It's great.
My wife and Brianna pretty much leads it up, and they just tell me what to do.
Oh, good.
I just take the orders, but I always find the week of VBS is so enjoyable. It's the week leading up to VBS that you need a vacation from.
Yeah.
You find that too?
Yes. And I think the thing that we're really talking about this year is, you know, training people up better for regardless of what station you're in to be prepared to lead a child to the gospel or mm-hmm. represent the gospel. Ladies is just as important as the Bible teacher.
It's really good.
And then that we are going to be very intentional with a follow-up. We are going to follow up. I'm saying this to myself. We are going to follow up because
I got it on recording.
Yeah. We're so exhausted after that good week, but it's so important to touch base because you end up seeing so many unchurched families or children that are growing in their faith and knowledge of Christ, and they need somebody to nurture that. And there's some great new great tools out there that I've been told about. I'll share with you.
You know, I almost brought up VBS to you. So how about that?
That's great.
I love that.
On February 16th, you better get more tortellini soup because I have multiple listeners telling me that they do not like vegetable soup either. So.
All right. Well, listen, there'll be
something. I won't even tell you what Brother Kidd said it reminds him of.
Easy. There'll be four, five, six different kinds. Something for everyone.
I know you will.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you, Miss Debbie, so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure. Again, 270-259-4000 is the number to the Grayson County Food Alliance. If you need help, contact her. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.